Track 12, Three Norfolk Victoria Cross Heroes. With Remembrance Day this month, our historian salutes the bravery of Norfolk First World War Victoria Cross recipients Harry Cater, Sidney Day and Arthur Cross.
During the First World War, the Victoria Cross was awarded to 627 recipients, of whom I can trace just six from Norfolk. If any reader is aware of others, I should be glad to hear about them and research their stories. I have already written about the extraordinary life of Harry Daniels in a previous article. But November, with its remembrance connotations, seems an appropriate month in which to write about three more, each of whom showed great bravery, survived the war, and has an interesting backstory. The two remaining, Lieutenant Gordon Flowerdew and Lance Corporal Ernest Seaman, both died in the actions which resulted in their awards, and they will be the subject of a later article. The first, Harry Cater, not only won the VC, but also the Military Medal, the other rank's equivalent of the Military Cross. Drayton-born Cater was the son of a railwayman and a domestic servant. In September 1914, he married his cousin Rose. The very next day he enlisted. Legend has it that he promised his bride he would try to be awarded the Victoria Cross. After training, he was sent to France. He must have cut an impressive figure, as he was promoted to sergeant just a few weeks after he arrived. His military medal recognized his bravery in rescuing 36 wounded men from the German lines, and was followed in 1917 by the award of the VC. Harry's platoon had suffered substantial casualties from a well-sighted German machine gun when he, with one other volunteer, advanced across open ground to try to neutralize the weapon. His colleague was killed shortly after they started advancing, but Harry, picking up a Lewis gun and ammunition on his way, made it to the enemy trench where he killed the entire crew and their officer. He then held the trench position single-handedly, while a bombing squad, a unit within the platoon which usually included two specially trained bomb throwers to attack enemy trenches, attacked the far end of the trench covered by his protective fire and succeeded in capturing five machine guns and more than 100 prisoners. The citation referred to his conspicuous bravery and devotion to duty. 3 days later, Harry was badly wounded, his jaw broken by shell fragments. Some others remained embedded in his shoulders. For treatment and surgery, he was evacuated to the Beaufort Military Hospital in Bristol. It was while he was a patient there that he received the Victoria Cross from the King at Buckingham Palace. On arriving back at Bristol on the train, he found a joyous group of fellow patients waiting to greet him. They carried him shoulder high to waiting transport, and on arrival at the hospital, a regimental band played See the Conquering Hero Comes. Harry Cater declined the offer of a commission, but was certainly an inspirational character. It seems fitting that he should have been selected as a member of the Guard at the interment of the unknown warrior at Westminster Abbey in 1920. After the war, he followed several occupations as a shoe repairer, a post office official, and as a civil servant. When war returned, he was initially commissioned as a quartermaster of a transit camp before being appointed as a commandant of a POW camp. He continued in the service until 1951. It's rather touching to read that such a military hero treated the former enemies entrusted to his charge so fairly that after the war, some of them invited him to visit them in Germany for his holidays. As with so many of the heroes I've researched, I find it sad that families were not able to retain the medals they had won. In this case, his medals, VC, MM, and the Croix de Guerre, were sold for just £10,500 in 1985. Sold again for £28,500 to Michael Ashcroft, they are now on display in the Ashcroft Gallery at the Imperial War Museum. Sidney James Day was a Norwich boy, educated at Lakenham, who, on leaving school, was apprenticed to a butcher. He enlisted just a month after the declaration of war and was sent to France a year later. He quickly showed his mettle, carrying a wounded officer in his arms and back towards the British lines. Sadly, the officer was shot again as Sidney carried him and died before reaching safety. Sidney was promoted to Lance Corporal, but during the Battle of the Somme he suffered 4 wounds and was evacuated home. It was 6 months before he was deemed fit to return to the front, where he was, in August 1917, promoted to corporal. Put in charge of a bombing squad, often a group of 8 soldiers, 2 trained to throw the bombs, 2 more to carry their stock of bombs, the others providing covering fire. He was, that same month, detailed to lead his squad in an attempt to clear forward trenches still held by the Germans. He did so successfully, taking 4 prisoners in the process. Returning to his own section, he was immediately under attack himself. In a trench with 5 other men, including a badly wounded officer, he performed the sort of feat that used to appear in the war hero stories of 1950s comics. No sooner had he reached the trench than a German squad lobbed a bomb into it. Quick as a flash, he picked up the bomb and tossed it out of the trench just as it exploded, thus saving the lives of all in the trench. Extraordinary speed of reaction, amazing speed of thought. The citation referred to his conspicuous bravery, and went on to report how, after ejecting the bomb, he completed his task of clearing the neighbouring trenches, and then remained in position for 66 hours under heavy shell and mortar fire. The citation concludes, "Throughout the whole operation, his conduct was an inspiration to all." Subsequently returned home for both treatment of his wounds and for his investiture at Buckingham Palace, he enjoyed a civic reception in Norwich. After receiving the medal, he was admitted to hospital for further treatment, but 3 months later returned to France, was again wounded, and then taken prisoner. On his discharge, he was awarded a 30% disability pension. He returned briefly to Butchery, but then decided to move south to Portsmouth, where he acquired a restaurant, which he renamed Sidney Day VC Tea Room, above which he made his home, marrying in 1939. A little ironically, given his exploits, the tea room was destroyed by enemy bombing in 1941. He stayed in Portsmouth in rented accommodation and worked as a dockyard messenger. Like Harry Cater, he was a member of the VC Guard at the interment of the unknown warrior. Like Harry, he should be remembered as the extraordinary hero he was. And like Harry, his VC purchased in 2018 by Lord Ashford for £160,000 can be seen in the Imperial War Museum. The one remaining holder of the VC, whose story is still to be told, is Arthur Henry Cross. Like Harry Cater, he won the Military Medal as well as the Victoria Cross. Like the others, he survived the war to end all wars, but his post-war history is rather sadder than that of his fellow heroes. Born in Shipdham, he moved to Camberwell as a teenager, working on the railways, enlisting in 1916. He later transferred to the Machine Gun Corps. In March 1918, he volunteered to make a reconnaissance of the position from which the Germans were using machine guns that they had captured when the British had pulled back. Armed only with a revolver, he crept back to the trench, which his own section had been occupying when the retreat came. Astonished at his sudden appearance, all 7 German soldiers in the trench promptly surrendered. He escorted them back to the British lines, carrying the machine guns and the ammunition, which was soon in use, helping to fight off another German attack. After receiving his VC from the King at Buckingham Palace in early September 1918, he was feted in his home village and presented with an inscribed gold watch on behalf of the villagers of Shipdham. Unfortunately, he had overstayed his leave and was posted AWOL, though he maintained that he had been granted additional leave to visit his family. When arrested, he didn't take it lying down, and there was a good deal of sympathetic press comment at his protestations. Discharged from the army the following year, he found life difficult, and by the early 1920s, his army gratuity spent, he was unemployed and not in good health. Settling for a lowly paid role as a council scavenger, he was soon in trouble again, charged first with acting as a bookie's runner and later with theft. He suffered tragedy during the Second World War when his wife and two of their children were killed during an air raid in 1941, when the shelter in which they sought safety took a direct hit. Harry escaped, as he had decided not to go into the shelter, but to remain in their flat, which survived intact. After the war, he worked as a messenger in the city. In the early 1950s, he enjoyed a brief burst of publicity when David Niven, who was to star in the film Carrington VC and wanted to wear an original VC, borrowed Harry's medal, which he had managed, despite his financial difficulties, to hold on to. The medals were still in his possession when he died in 1965 and remained with his family until 2012, when they were sold for £185,000. Harry Cross had, at times, a difficult life after his wartime heroics, but I am indebted to Steve Snelling's research about him for an article in the Eastern Daily Press in 2018 for another side to his character, in which Steve quoted family sources as saying that Harry lived his life to the full, and that wine, women, and song were his favourites in life. He'd certainly earned the right to some relaxation. Norfolk can be truly proud of its heroes.